Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
My golf teammate with another brilliant news report. Tomorrow we'll be at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA and the 25th Annual Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. That'll be tomorrow. We'll do the show out there from 3 to 5 as well. Dave Ritchie's going to join us. That'll be a lot of fun. Kevin is bringing the Chutter. Illegal in several countries, including Dubai, but you'll have to come out on the course and take it from him. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day. Oklahoma City and San Antonio last night. A wild finish, including a bad call. Matt Pinto on the Thunder Radio Network.
Giving the ball. Here we go. Looks to get it in. Looks to get it in. Jump passes backcourt. Durant has it. Knocked down. No whistle. Green lobs to Mills. Right baseline. Ginobili. 6 seconds across the lane. Corner right. Mills. Rainbow three. No good. Rebound. Aldridge stripped on the floor. The Thunder win it.
All right, now the bad call is not what Matt Pinto said about the push on Durant. That's a no call in any league, any time. So I understand the emotion of it, why he would call it that way. The bad call, and the NBA admits it's a bad call. It's Waiters, when he inbounds the ball, takes the ball with Ginobili jumping up and down and shoves the ball into the chest of Ginobili, pushes him off, and then throws the ball in. That's an offensive foul. Now, what's the significance of that? The significance is that because you're saying, well, San Antonio stole the ball, they got it. And the plus is that you steal the ball and you get a run out to the bucket, which they didn't end up getting. The minus is that if it's an offensive foul, then the plus for San Antonio would be you get the ball and Greg Popovich still had two more timeouts to use. And Popovich is one of the better coaches that we've ever seen at calling set plays off a timeout. It doesn't mean they would have hit it, but they go back to Oklahoma City tied at a game apiece for game three. Chris Letang gets a one-game suspension. Expected that last night. He was a shade late on the hit to Johansson. Not as late as Orpik was on his hit to Mata. That's why Orpik got three games. Letang gets one. I think it was proper. It's the right thing to do. The Penguins won the game 3-2. Matt Murray was great last night. Kicked out 47 of 49 shots. They'll play game three coming up. Or check that. They'll play game four coming up in Pittsburgh with the Pens up 2-1.
Yeah, I have a feeling pretty much every game is going to be a one-goal deficit, and that could easily go seven. It's been a fun series to watch.
Fun series, a lot of hitting. They put intense pressure on Murray in the third period last night, and he withstood it. And they will play game four coming up. Tonight, it's Dallas and St. Louis, series tied at one. And also tonight, Anaheim plays at Nashville, but the Ducks are up 2-0 in that series. Toronto opens up its series against Miami tonight in the NBA. Golden State will continue when they take on Portland. I doubt Steph Curry is going to play. They've been saying game three. Things have been going along pretty well without him. It's all right.
We got a good pitching matchup here on WKOK tonight. Michael Wacha and Nola for the Phillies as they get into game two in that series out Busch Stadium.
Michael Wacha. You ever see on Bravo the host Andy Cohen?
Oh, yeah. He does that live show.
Watch What Happens Live.
Yeah, it's a good show.
He is a huge St. Louis Cardinals fan. He adopted a dog from a shelter The dog's name is Waka.
That is so cool. Yeah, he actually has a St. Louis Cardinals ball cap like right behind him, right on his set.
Yeah. Well, he named his dog Waka after Michael Waka. So that's why the dog is named Waka. Now, if he keeps pitching well, maybe the next dog he adopts will be called Noah.
He names his pets after Cardinals. I name my cats after Steelers. So I can completely understand that. That's awesome.
And what are the names of your cats?
We have had Heinz and Jerome, and we currently have Harrison, who is 6, and Antonio, who is a little over a year old.
No Le'Veon.
And no Ben either. Okay. I lobbied for Ben, but got turned down. So.
Wow.
We almost named one of our cats Pouncy. We were going between Pouncy and Harrison won out, so. They're just working a way down through the roster. And they're black cats. They've got black cats, and they're named after Steelers. So.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
With gold tails? No. Okay. Yeah. Spray painted on by you.
No
Look
way.
I
no.
I made it a Steeler cat. Look at that. Yeah, they have one named Hammer.
There you go. Hammer. That's next on the list.
Yeah, I can tell Jack, make him proud. The Big 12. Listen to this. Bob Bowlsby, who is the commissioner of the Big 12, former Iowa athletic director. That's the first time I met him along the way was when he was at Iowa. Smart man. He says that his great fear right now for the conference that he works for and helps run, is that in a span of maybe 8 to 10 years, each Big 12 school will be behind the SEC and the Big 10 by approximately $20 million per school per year. I don't mean they're going to fall behind $20 million over 10 years. They're going to fall behind $200 million over the next 10 years, $20 million a year behind a Big Ten school. In other words, you look at a great school on the football field like Oklahoma. Oklahoma this year was in the college football playoff. They are a perennial contender. Yet 10 years from now, Indiana, which, by the way, is getting better, but Indiana, which doesn't have a deep, steep reputation in football, as an athletic department, is going to be garnering $20 million more per year than Oklahoma will be. So Bob Bowlsby is asked, trying to figure out, how can we fix this? How can we close the gap? One of them is, how do we get consistently into the college football playoff, which, of course, has the payout to go with it? So they got a hold of a group, Navigate, in Chicago. And this is what Navigate came up with. Remember, this is a survey that was paid for. Number one, they should expand to 12 teams and split into divisions and have a championship game. Son of a gun. Now, the Big 12 is allowed to have a championship game now. There's no limit on, there's no minimum on teams in a conference to have a championship game. So at 10, they can do it, and the Big 12 wants to do it with the top two teams facing each other at the end. But number one was 12 teams, two divisions, expand by two. That was one. Number two is to play an 8-game schedule instead of 9. To give them more flexibility non-conference to rack up some RPI points. So actually, it was actually a three-pronged thing. Number one was expand, number two was get a championship game, and number three was to drop down to 8 games in the conference. They say that would increase their chances, according to Navigate, big-time firm in Chicago, they would increase their chances of getting into the college football playoff. Sean, by how much? Go ahead, pick a number. How much more would that increase the Big 12's chances of getting into the college football playoff?
A percentage?
According to the survey.
A percentage?
Yeah. How much of an increase do you think it would make?
35.
You missed by 30. They say 5%. They would increase their chances of getting in by 5%.
Wow.
Now, they could have commissioned me to do this. How often have I talked about this on the show? Expand, get the 12 teams, play a championship game, because you are going to increase your odds by getting in, because the argument is going to be made year in and year out while you're at 10 teams and no championship game. That why does everybody else have to clear a 13th hurdle and you guys don't? Why is it, you know, let's take 2 years ago when TCU and Baylor didn't make it. They finished 5th and 6th. Why was it that Oregon, Florida State, Alabama, and Ohio State, all four of them had to play a 13th game, which they, if they lost, they'd be out. But TCU and Baylor didn't have to. How can you look at four other schools and tell them they've got to put their backsides on the line and have to win it to have a chance, while two others are sitting in a living room with their feet up saying, yeah, we're all done? You're not going to win that argument with me anytime. I'm sorry, that's not how it works. Now, I realize, for example, in the NBA playoffs, everybody plays the same amount of games, same amount of series, the whole deal, you seed. NHL, you seed. Obviously, in baseball, there's a one-game playoff, and then the winners get in. And in the NFL, you get four teams end up with byes, two in each conference. But that's done on merit, on record. Everybody played the same amount of games to get to that point. All these are common sense solutions. Now, the question is this. Who do you expand to? A lot of people bring up BYU because, you know, obviously you can bring with them the Salt Lake City market, which Utah has a pretty good handle on in the Pac-12 anyway. But BYU, nationally known university, nationally known name, the whole deal. What about them? What's the big problem with BYU? It has nothing really to do with football or basketball. Is that your Olympic sports, many of them play on Sundays. BYU refuses to play on Sundays. So that then becomes a problem, having them in a conference, because now you've got a schedule around them all the time in every sport, including men's basketball, which has obviously some Sunday games. Houston. Okay, stadium, you know, they renovated it. Hoffman's Pavilion is fine. Reputation, the whole deal. Used to be in the Southwest Conference. Okay. Maybe. SMU. You know, there's TCU one, SMU one. I mean, I know they were in the Southwest Conference together, but does TCU one, SMU in? I mean, the Dallas-Fort Worth market? Cincinnati. They're close to West Virginia. They'd have to play their games in Paul Brown Stadium, probably, not at Nippert Stadium. And they got a good basketball program. Penn State will see them in the Mohegan Sun Tournament. I don't know if Penn State's going to play them. They're in the other half of the bracket, but they might. Mick Cronin's done a great job of that program. And then there's UConn. UConn brings with it, of course, the Hartford market, which is a top 35 market. They bring with it great basketball. They won four national championships. Football program is a 40,000-seat stadium, and Bob Diaco, they're struggling, you know, right now trying to find their identity. And please do not ever bring up that when they've got great women's basketball, take my word, it's not even in the room when they talk, okay? They don't sit there and say, hey, you know what? They bring Gina Auriemma in. Everybody's looking at each other like, that doesn't help us. Doesn't help anybody. It just doesn't. This is a football conversation, then maybe some men's basketball conversation. It's just what it is. It's called economic reality. This is business. Okay? This isn't kumbaya. It's business. And then another interesting one is Central Florida. Central Florida does not have a great pedigree basketball-wise. Football-wise, they've been good. They've now built their own stadium on campus, which is, I think, a little bit bigger than UConn's, which is in East Hartford. It's not on campus. It's off campus. Central Florida's is on campus, and Orlando is a top 20 market and does not have pro football there, anything like that. The only thing they have is pro basketball. They don't have hockey, baseball, or football on the professional side there. Those are some of the areas they could expand to. And then what do you do with the Longhorn Network, which has been a problem? It's been a problem. It's been a problem for the whole conference. I mean, Nebraska, officials in Nebraska, when I've talked to them, said they got up in a meeting and they said, are you willing to share the revenues from the Longhorn Network? Now they knew what the answer was. I want to point out, Nebraska knew what the answer was when they asked it, but they wanted it on the record that they asked the question, would you share the revenues from the Longhorn Network with the rest of the conference? And Texas said no. And, of course, at that point, Nebraska had already decided to go to the Big Ten anyway. They hadn't told the other Big 12 schools yet, but they'd already decided. But they thought, hey, look, we'll throw it on the table one more time, see what happens. They'll probably say no. They did say no. That sealed the deal, and they went to the Big Ten. So the Big 12 commissions a common sense report. Now, I'll tell you the intriguing part to me. The intriguing part to me was the part where they talked about the eight conference games. I'll tell you why I think that's intriguing in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Great to have you with us. One of the parts of the study I found intriguing was the drop from 9 down to 8 games, because keep in mind, the Big Ten is going the opposite direction. They're going from 8 conference games to 9 beginning this year, which joins the Big 12 and the Pac-12 with having 9 conference games. The plus, now look, one of the reasons that, make no mistake, one of the reasons they went to 9 conference games is that a couple reasons. Number one, that's more conference-controlled inventory television-wise. And you're in charge now of an extra weekend across the board where it's all your, it's your content. You don't have to worry about anybody else's TV rights, whatever. So you've got another full weekend. So 75% of the weekends, you're in complete charge of your television inventory for each school. All right, that's one. Number two, 9 conference games does not benefit Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, Nebraska. It just doesn't. Or even Wisconsin. It does exponentially benefit Purdue, Indiana, Illinois, Northwestern, Rutgers, Maryland, and Minnesota to a point. It benefits all of them. You're saying, why does it benefit them? Because it gives them a legitimate game on their schedule that fans will respond to and buy. Yeah. If you looked over the years at some of the non-conference schedules that some of these schools have had and their inability to draw with their non-conference schedule, in fact, I think they're losing money sometimes when they go on the road. Like Northwestern played a home and away with Duke. They didn't get any money out of that. I mean, Duke plays in a 35,000-seat stadium. What the heck are you going to get out of that for? And when you look at that, that's where they get having that additional game on there is a big benefit to them. It gives them a legit game that they can sell. Penn State's going to play at Purdue this year. Well, what's going to draw better, Penn State, Purdue at Ross-Ade Stadium, or bringing in North Texas State? But the negative is you also lose your non-conference flexibility. I'll explain that in the next half hour. That non-conference flexibility, for all the people who have cried over the years, you should be playing Pitt. With 9 conference games, it becomes exponentially more difficult to play Pitt. I mean, you want to play Pitt every year? That's your home and away every year? I mean, really? And you want to take away the ability to maybe play Texas, Alabama, USC, Notre Dame? I don't care who it is. You want to have some flexibility. You just can't lock into one team every year non-conference.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Great to have you with us. Great to have you with us. Can't wait to be out there tomorrow. Cannot wait. Dave Ritchie's going to be out there. Jennifer Wakeman's going to be out there. Let's see. Somebody else.
Come on. You know who.
Sean, you're not going to be out there.
I know. Well, we'll be back here at home base, keeping everything sound and smooth.
I'm trying to think. Who is somebody else? Somebody else.
The guy who'll be there at 7, remember?
He's going to be there at 7 tonight. What are you talking about? What the heck are you talking about? You're going to be 7 tonight.
And even for the non-golfers out there, if you're a sports fan, come out, check out the show live, Susquehanna Valley Country Club tomorrow, and of course, donations gladly accepted for the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA.
Oh, we're going to have a good time. I'm looking forward to it.
So during the break, we did get a phone call from Tony. Tony was stuck in traffic on the strip. We were telling you earlier, very slow go on the strip. Routes
what,
11
now,
and 15.
What, Tony's now going to get Tony's going to get mad at me now, saying, you should have told me an hour ago not to be in that, Steve.
He did say that. But
believe Tony, it or not, he said it 3 times.
He said I missed it. But he was listening, going slow go in between the red lights about the Big 12 survey and the future expansion, yeah, if that kind of thing. He did bring up Notre Dame. I probably could have easily answered that question, but I think just because of Notre Dame going into Big Ten for hockey, and they're not officially in the ACC with their football games, but you can take it from there.
Well, they're not going to take their football into anything, so to me, they're not worth having unless they take the whole thing in there. So the ACC, which... You don't see the Big Ten, the SEC, or the Pac-12 looking at Notre Dame saying, hey, what do you want to do? Well, we'd like to put in soccer, women's soccer, softball, baseball, men's basketball, women's basketball. You left one out. Well, what would they have? Football. No, it's not going to happen. Well, we'll take you. Okay, good. And that's just not how, And if they're not going to bring their football in, Tony, I just don't see what the lure or the appeal is, because that doesn't get you to the 12 that this survey wants you to get to, which is in football. I mean, this is a football-based survey. That's where the vast majority of the money's coming from, and then the next revenue source is men's basketball. And then after that, there really aren't any revenue sources. So that's what the survey is about. If Notre Dame is not going to bring their football in, I don't see why they would be a viable option for the Big 12, because obviously I agree with Tony. I mean, you're sitting in a meeting. What's the first team you're going to think of in a meeting? If you're going to sit there and think of a school right away, let's think of a school. Hey, look, if we could get them in, this is the home run of all home runs, Notre Dame. And Tony's absolutely right. Completely agree with it. Problem is, what you and I see as a slam dunk, Notre Dame sees as a problem, and they won't do it. Voila. And Tony's right. Now, back to the our sports bozo of the day is Dana Stubblefield. That was not good. That's not a good story. It's just not a good story. It's one of those stories you sit back and say, really? And for those who didn't hear it, he's been Stubblefield, who used to play for the 49ers, has been charged with, and he's denied it, by the way. He's denied it. Been charged with sexual assault on a developmentally delayed woman. Charges were filed against him yesterday. This is really... I don't think we're going to take it any more than that. All right. Back to the eight games now for a moment. Here's the issue. Okay, I talked about the nine games and how it benefits certain schools in the Big Ten. Look, they was put nine games were put in, I'm sure, to help the bottom tier schools. Give them an extra game, especially one that every other year they can sell on their season ticket package and enhance it by having another conference game. Because they lose, a lot of these schools lose money when it comes to their non-conference schedules. They don't do what Penn State does or Ohio State does or Michigan does. But nine games helps that group. All right, nine games is fine, but it really does restrict what you do with your non-conference schedule. Penn State is a school that over the years has had a formula of having seven home games, with those seven home games allowing you to continue with 31 sports. And here, only three of them are on the plus side, in the black, making money. Football, men's basketball, and men's ice hockey. They're the only three that make money here at Penn State. So, the seven home games is important because if you take one out of the mix, now it really takes the entire business model and it really gets it into a gray area. And Penn State does not currently have the athletic department reserve, which they're now in the process of attempting to build back up. Maybe once the new TV contract kicks in, a lot of those things will get back on track. So, when you have nine conference games, you only have three non-cons, and two of them have to be at home. So when you have four Big Ten games in a season, which Penn State will in odd years, 17, 19, 21, 23, 25, so forth, they'll have four Big Ten home games. All three non-conference games must be here to get you to seven. In the even years, 16, 18, 20, 22, 24, 26, 28, you know, keep going, you'll have five Big Ten home games. That means you can have two other games that are one plays that get you to seven. That means you can take that one game, and that can be a road game, which Penn State will play on the road this year at Pitt. The problem is that with eight, you develop more scheduling flexibility. So more scheduling flexibility would be in play with eight, where you could maybe play a game with Pitt on an every year basis. As long as you rotated it properly with your other home and away non-conference game. Penn State, for example, last year did have seven home games, again, four of them in the Big Ten, three of them were in non-conference, and they did play at Temple. So they were able to play a non-conference game on the road. With nine, you don't have that flexibility. And to be honest with you, as a Penn State audience, do you want to play Pitt every year, or do you want to rotate through where it's Pitt, Alabama, Notre Dame, Texas, USC, Miami, I don't know, Virginia, UCLA, Texas, Alabama? Would you rather see that kind of rotation? Because you only really have the flexibility of one game to do that, and if you lock yourself into one opponent, you lose all that flexibility. You lose it all. And please do not say, well, the other two games you could. No, you can't. You can't. If you're going to sit there and say, I love they got great volleyball. I love that they've got great wrestling. I love that they've got great softball. I love they got great baseball. They got great women's soccer, great men's soccer, great field hockey. You got to pay for it, which means you have to have seven home games. You have to. It's a fact. It's a fact of business life. A fact of business life is that this is what they have to do at Penn State. Seven home football games, and the millions that they generate just from getting that seventh game is something that helps balance the books. It makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. And that's why that's always been my debate between 8 and 9. I don't mind having 9 Big Ten games. It puts another, as far as I'm concerned, good game, good opponent on the schedule. For example, Iowa's on the schedule this year at Beaver Stadium. I mean, the home schedule this year for Penn State is Ohio State, Michigan State, Iowa, Maryland. I mean, those are 4 of your home games this year. It's not bad. I think a lot of teams would like to have Ohio State, Iowa, and Michigan State on their home schedule. It's pretty good, I think. But that's what happens. Now, next year, the year after, you'll have Michigan on the home schedule, Nebraska's on the home schedule, so's Pitt. So that's where they'll change up a little bit, and Rutgers is in as well. But that's the pros and cons of 9 versus 8. 8 does give you the flexibility to go out and pick up that extra power game that you can play home and away, and if you schedule it right in conjunction with what you already have, you can still have 7 home games. When the conference dictated going to 9, that took away Penn State's scheduling flexibility. And I really, to be honest with you, I really don't want to be in a position like Iowa where they're forced to play Iowa State every single year. I think your fans want a little variety somewhere, don't they? I mean, a little variety. The biggest games I remember in Beaver Stadium were the games with Nebraska. Here comes Alabama. Here comes Notre Dame. You know, they had a home game with Texas one year in 1990. Brought them in. Brought Texas A&M in once. They brought Miami in. Of course, I already mentioned Alabama. I mean, those are the games where people got juiced up for. And that's, you know, and with 9 Big Ten games, you lose that scheduling flexibility. And with Power 5 schools, that's a fact of life. You have to be able to pay for everything else you have.
Well, and the big cry, too, a couple of years ago when the college football playoffs started, you better add some pop and sizzle to your September schedule if you want to increase your chances of moving up as those ratings continue to be more important as you get into late November and early December. But now harder if you have one less conference game on your schedule.
And that, by the way, is an excellent point by Sean. Excellent point. You want to add some pop and sizzle to the schedule. Well, Penn State gets to the point where in 18 and 19, they're starting to get to the point where they're right in the thick of what's going on. I can tell you right now, no offense, but Pitt is not going to add the pop and sizzle you're looking for.
Well, you've brought up in the past before, it's kind of a state divided. The further west in this state you go, they'd rather see Pitt and Penn State, and the further east you go, the more scintillating matchup would be Penn State and Notre Dame.
It's interesting. I have spoken in the western part of the state, obviously, many times. I've spoken all over the state. I feel like I've been to almost every town. And in the west, boy, they are passionate about getting Pitt on there every year. I mean passionate. Passionate. Then you go east. Sure, once in a while. I'd like to play Pitt, but not every year. Oh, who would you like to play? Oh, I want to play Notre Dame. It's just different strokes to different folks. Now, obviously, there are far more Pitt alums in the western part of the state where the little jabbing back and forth goes. And obviously, writers are slaves to the fan base around them. I mean, if we bring Corey Geiger and Neil Riddell on the show, Neil will go on and on and on about how they got to play Pitt. They got to play Pitt. They got to play Pitt. You got to play Pitt. I bring Frank Bodani on from the York Daily Record. He's like, hey, yeah. Or Rich Scarsella. Yeah. It's great. Play him, sure. I mean, but if I bring Neil on the show, Neil will go on and on and on about that's the series, the series, the series. And in reality, it was the series for about 10 years. And when Joe Paterno first got there, Penn State kicked the living daylights out of Pitt. Right? The last 7 or 8 years that they had the series on a year-in and year-out basis, Penn State kicked the living daylights out of Pitt every year. In 1988, Penn State did not have a very good year in 1988, still beat Pitt. Penn State was 5-6. It's about that span where it was Johnny Majors, Jackie Sherrill, and both teams were ranked in the top five. Ooh, now that was a rivalry. Those were much better games. I mean, they were much better games than Ohio State, Michigan. Much better. Ohio State, Michigan kept playing all these 10-9 games. You're like, okay, great. Can't wait for this one to be over. All right. Meanwhile, Penn State and Pitt are out there playing hard-nosed football with games getting up into the low 20s, and there's some good defense and some you know top draft choices on the field, things like that. It was much better. There was a couple points where it was a little bit better than Auburn and Alabama, I thought, in terms of a series. But then Penn State kept going, and Pitt fell off, and when that happened, then the gap grew exponentially bigger. And Penn State beat Dorsett in 74-75, then Pitt won in 76, great win. But then Penn State won 77-78, went to the national championship game. Pitt won in 79-80. And then Penn State won in 81, won in 82. They tied in 83. Pitt did win in 84. And then Penn State won 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, 91, 92. See what I'm talking about? And none of those games in that latter stretch were close. But it's been a long time. They played the four-game series in 97, 98, 99, 2000. Penn State won the first three, and they were pretty good games, really good games. In fact, all four games were close. And then Pitt won the last one 12-0 at Three Rivers. We will come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Well, tomorrow, Jennifer Wakeman will hit from the red tees. She loves to play the game. It's great to have her out there. Dave Ritchie will be there, being his soul's steady self. And then the Prince of the Chutter will show. We'll get around the green, and we'll be just in that little area, about maybe 5-6 inches off the fringe.
A tradition unlike any other.
And the words, "It's Chutter Time," will be uttered. The rest of us, of course, no matter where the ball goes, will have to praise. Wow. So glad you brought the chutter. Wow. We'll use Gen Shot. Thanks.
That could be why he wanted you to show up early tomorrow morning, just to make sure your paperwork and your policy's up to snuff.
Purdy's and I have had a long talk about accident insurance, I can tell you that. And their debate with me right now is, would it be an accident? I said, in other words, you're claiming he's good enough to do it deliberately? They took that off the table right away. We're going to have a lot of laughs tomorrow. We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm thrilled Jen wants to go out and play a round of golf with us. That is great. Looking forward to that very much. Great to have Dave Ritchie out there. Kevin will be a lot of fun. And there's nothing like getting into the winner's circle of this tournament and then having somebody else spend your gift certificate. Oh, I did?
You did.
We're going to have a lot of fun tomorrow. I can't wait to see Corey out there and Tom and all the Purdy's. Adam, I think, is going to join us at one point. Steve's going to stop by. It's going to be a blast tomorrow. Can't wait.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.